Prologue. L.
Everything is flourishing in this area right now, Stanley said, scratching his cheek as he surveyed the covered side yard outside the first cell block. I hate to move it all.
He pushed his glasses up the bridge of his nose, a tic of his I'd come to notice when he was either deep in thought or nervous.
If I'd been told a year ago that my life would be so completely altered now, I wouldn't have believed it. But here I was, inspecting a makeshift greenhouse in the walls of a state-of-the-art prison, our fortress and second home. It had taken months for all of us to get to know one another, especially since our first meeting with the prison crew had been Sophie and me locked in a jail cell here at the prison against our will. All of that was sorted now, though, and despite the time it had taken us to get to know one another's quirks, it had only taken weeks for us to learn to trust one another, especially when we shared a common threat, General Harrodson.
Do you think I have to? Stanley asked.
I bent down to test the moisture in the soil, admiring Stanley's hard work. The beanstalks and tomatoes inundated the northern corner after weeks of trial and error, looking for just the right spot. I wasn't sure if it was Stanley's patience or if he had a green thumb, but he was a much better gardener than Woody, despite his many failed attempts over the summer. But then, Woody was so scatterbrained, I wasn't all that surprised. The place was silent without him, without them. I told myself I couldn't dwell on Jackson being gone, even if it was lonely without him. He'd become my other half, the warm body beside me in bed, and my daily reassurance that what we were doing, that all we'd accomplished, was right. I wished he'd come home.
Oh? Ross prompted, and when I looked up, I realized he and Stanley were both staring at me. I assume we should move it, he said. But I'm not the head landscaper around this joint, he joked.
Oh, sorry. I looked at Stanley with a quick nod. Yes, as frustrating as it is, when the time comes, I think the garden should be moved indoors. Unless we want to turn this old workout area into a greenhouse, like ours at the farm. Then you'll be able to plant here year-round.
Elle!
I froze as a voice cried my name, and a cold chill trickled down my back. I glanced around the side yard.
Elle?
Ross's voice held the same concern that made the hair on my arms and neck stand on end.
Are you okay? I swear your skin just turned 10 shades paler.
He shifted the rifle hanging over his shoulder and leaned closer. I swallowed thickly. I could have sworn I heard someone call my name. Stanley and Ross looked at one another.
Perhaps you should sit down, Miss L, said Stanley.
But I shook my head as they began to fuss over me, and I pushed Ross's hand away. Something's wrong, I told them, even if I didn't understand it. There was a voice in my head. It said my name. My heart began to pound in my chest, and I tried to catch my breath. It made no sense. I'd never heard anyone's voice in my head, and somehow it seemed familiar and urgent.
Miss L, sit down for a moment, Stanley insisted.
L, hurry!
I whipped around, frantically searching for the voice, though I knew it was for naught.
Hurry? What? Where?
L, you're scaring the shit out of me, Ross chided. Jackson will kill me if you lose your mind while he's gone.
I clutched his arm, my fingers pressing into his flesh as I tried to convince myself I wasn't crazy, and how somewhere, deep down, I knew it was somehow linked to the kids. Something's wrong. Without another second of hesitation, I reached for my pistol, holstered on my hip, and ran through the side yard toward the truck. As Thea and Sophie's faces flashed to mind, my fear and dread were dwarfed by a sudden ferocity I'd never felt and the resolve to get to them.
Hurry up!
I shouted, but Ross and Stanley's frantic footsteps and my voice were barely audible as every flame and